We begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos and daf Nun Beis. We begin two lines from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which introduced us in our Mishnah that began the 8th parak Masechtas Brachos. The machlek is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding when we make Kiddush on Friday night or on Yom Tov. Which one comes first? Do we make a Baruch on the Kiddush Hayayin first, making the Baruch HaBari Piyagofen, as Beis Hillel says, or do we do first the Kiddush Hayoyim, which is the Nusach of Mekadosh HaShabbos, the Mekadosh Yisrov HaZmanim? Do we say that bracha before the bracha of the wine? Which one comes first? So the Gemara asks, B'savi Beis Shammai deBrichas HaYom Adifa, is it true, as we learned in our Mishnah, that Beis Shammai holds that the bracha of the day is better than the bracha of the wine, that it's mochashur, and therefore it has precedence, and we made that bracha, and then we make a bracha piragavan afterwards? But B'hatan, we learned in the Braisa, Hanichnas LeBeisa B'Matzah Shabbos, someone comes into his house on Matzah Shabbos, Mevarach ala yayin, it says the following order. He makes a bracha on the wine, v'al moran on the flame, v'al besaman on the fragrances, v'achakech ha'mavdol, then he makes the bracha of avdola, separation of ha'mavd me'kodesh l'chayl. V'imein lo'e l'koysach, and he only has one cup of wine. So then, manich l'achamaz, and he leaves it till after he eats his evening meal, and then, u'mashalshin kulin l'acharav, and then he organizes all the brachas afterwards, in other words, because he wants to be able to make b'chzamazin on the koysh l'bracha also. He's going to make Abdullah beforehand. He's not going to have his cup to make any more kosher bracha. He has only one cup. So he waits till after he eats. And then he benches on that cup together with all the brachas of Abdullah. So the question is that we find over here in this brisa, it says that wine is the first bracha that we make. So therefore, how could Beis Shammai say that we make the bracha of the yoyim before the bracha of the yayin? So the Gemara asks, Bahamimaid Beis Shammai here. So the Gemara asks on the one that was asking, who said that this is Beis Shammai? Diman Beis Hillel. Maybe it's Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel says that the wine comes before the bracha on the day. Why are we asking from this price? So the Gemara says, no. The reason why we're asking is, it's obvious it's Beis Shammai. Because lo yisal gadaitach. Diktani, because we learned in that brisa that the order was ma'or v'achkech besam. First you make the bracha on the flame, b'orim ma'or'esh, and then you make the bracha on the besamim, on the fragrances, b'orim in the besam. Uman shamet le de'isle haisor. Beis Shammai, who is the one that we learned that he holds like this, that first you do the candle and then you do the besamim? That was Beis Shammai. The Tanya has learned the brisa. So the Beis Shammai never argued regarding the order of when you're making Havdalah together with Birchas HaMazon, that the first thing that comes is definitely the Birchas HaMazon, and the last thing that comes is definitely the Bracha HaMavad B'Kesh L'Chal. Aman Nechlukah, so what was they arguing about? Alamar V'Al B'Sam, regarding the order of the flame and the B'Sam. That Beis Shammai say that first comes the flame, and then comes the besam, the fragrances. First comes the besamim, and then comes the flame. So therefore, obviously we see that according to Beis Shammai, first comes the flame and then the besamim. And that Bryce also says that first comes the flame and then the besamim. So obviously that Bryce is Beis Shammai. And still, it says in the Bryce that wine comes first before Havdalah. That seems to contradict that we learned in our Mishnah, that he says that when you're talking about the sanctity of the day, that comes first, and then comes the wine. And here the brisa, which is obviously Beis Shammai, as we see the order of the flame and then the besamim, still says that first you're going to do the wine and then the havdalah, which is the kedushas hayayim. So that's the question the Gemara has from the brisa. But then the Gemara again wants to respond, "Mimayde Beis Shammai hi valibe de Rabbi Yehuda." Correct. You're proving that would be the opinion of Beis Shammai in the way Rabbi Yehuda explains it, as we found in this brisa. And therefore you have a question. But who said that Bryce is the opinion of Beis Shammai according to Rabbi Yehuda? Dima Beis Hillel hi v'alib de Reb Meir. Maybe it's the opinion of Beis Hillel the way Reb Meir explains the machlekes, because we learn in the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, that Beis Hillel say neru besamim. The first comes the flame, and then the besamim. The Gemara explains that that's Reb Meir. So our Mishnah quotes Beis Hillel also as saying that the flame comes first and then the besamim. So therefore, maybe that Bryce that's saying that wine comes first is Beis Hillel, the way Reb Meir explains the opinion of Beis Hillel, that the Ma'ur really does come first before the Besam. And therefore it makes sense why the Yayin is first, because Beis Hillel holds that the Bracha on the wine comes before the Bracha on the day. So the Gemara says, he can't consider that to say that the Braisa is the same as our Mishnah, and that it's going to be like Beis Hillel. And the reason is, Diktani Halcha B'Masnitin, because we learn in our Mishnah, Beis Shammai Omrim, the order is Ner U'Mazayin B'Samim V'Havdalah. The first comes the flame, then comes the bracha on the birchas hamazon, then comes the besamim, and then comes the avdolah. Ubeis Hillel, and now Mishnah Beis Hillel says, Neru besamim, mazon v'avdolah. That either way, according to both the opinion of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the bracha on the birchas hamazon that we make on the food is not going to be the first bracha. It's going to be somewhere in the middle. But yet there in that braisa that we're quoting to contradict the opinion of Bishamai, we learned him ain't lo ela kois echad, if there's only one cup, manichil acher amazon, umeshalshin kulan la'achrav. That we says that you leave it until after the food, and that it's the first one, and then you organize all the brachas of Abdullah after the bracha of Berachas Amazon. Shema minad beishamai hi, malibe de Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, we can't say it's Beis Hillel according to the opinion of Reb Meir, because if it was like that, then it shouldn't be that the Mazon is the first one, because in our Mishnah, which is the opinion of Reb Meir, both Beis Hillel and beishamai both agree that it's not going to be the first one. It's going to be somewhere in the middle, depending on where, but not the first one. And here, the Mazon is the first one. So obviously, it's the way Rabbi Yehuda explains, that he said nobody argues that Mazon is the first one. It's just that they argue Bisham Bisil about the order of Ma'or and Besam. So therefore, obviously, this one that says the Mazon comes first, obviously, it's the opinion like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore the Braisa has to be going like Bishamai. So therefore, the Gemara concludes, Mikol Makom Kasha. So therefore, it is a difficulty, and that is that the bracha of wine is coming before the bracha of Avdallah, and it has to be the opposite according to Bishamai, that the Kedushas Hayayim has to be before the Kiddush of the Yain. So the Gemara answers, Kasavi Bishamai, Shani Iyula Yayma Mafuka Yayma. There's a difference between bringing in the day when you're doing the Kedushas Hayayim about when it's starting, and it's different than when you're taking it out when you're ending it. And that is, Kiddush is when you're bringing in the Kedushas Hayayim. Havdalah is when you're taking that out. As the Gemara explains, Iyula Yayma Kamad Makmin Lay Adif. When you're bringing in the day, the earlier you can do it, the better, because you want to make it as long as it's possible. So therefore, Kiddush Hayayim comes first, and that's the opinion of Bishamai, that the Kiddush Hayayim comes before the Kiddush of the Yayin. Fuka Yayma Kamad Makrin Lay Adif. But regarding taking out the Shabbos or the Yom Tov, so then the later the better, and therefore the bracha of Bay Priyak Gofri comes before the Abdullah, and that is Kihichidolei Lahavel on Kamasoi, that it should not seem like it's a yoke upon us, that's like something that we just want to get rid of. Therefore, the later we can do Havdalah, and the bracha specifically of Havdalah, the later we can do it, and therefore we'll make any bracha beforehand, the bracha of Bar-Pri HaGafen, Besamim, the flame, we'll do it all before until the last bracha of Havdalah that actually stops, so to speak, the Kedushas of Shabbos and Yom Tov. And there's the famous phrase of Hama'achim Lotzeis Min HaShabbos, the ones that as late as possible as they can finish, that's what they'll do. So therefore, although Bishamai says the Kiddush Hayoim, the sanctity of the day comes before the Kiddush of the Yayin of the Bracha Bei Pri HaGafen, that's only when you're starting. But when you're ending, then the later you can do it, the better it off it is. So that's how the Gemara resolves the contradiction, that it is Bishamai, and although the Bracha of Wine comes first, it's different by Avdolah than by Kiddush. Now the Gemara asks a different contradiction in the opinion of Bishamai. The question is, Rasavi Bishamai Birch Samazan Tuna Kais, is it true that Bishamai holds that when one makes Birch Samazan, it requires a cup? And that is because we learned that it says Manichil Acher Amazon, that we're saying that this Bryce is the opinion of Bishamai, and it says that you leave, if you only have one cup of wine, and you can't make Abdullah, because then you won't have it for Birch Samazan, so you leave it till after your meal, and then when you make the Kais, Shal Bracha, on the Birch Samazan, then you'll make the Havdalah with it. So it's obvious that opinion, which we're saying is Bishamai, holds that Birch Samazan needs to have a cup, a Kishal Bracha. But the Gemara asks, but Namba, we learned in the Mishnah, Bolehem Yain Lach Hamazan, if wine comes after the meal, in other words, before benching, but it's after the meal, Im Einsham Elo Isakai. So the question is, if there's only one cup of wine, so Bishamai, Mevarach Al Yain, Vachach Mevarach Al Hamazan. Bishamai says that you can make a Bracha on the wine, and then you can make a Bracha on the food that you ate, which is the Bracha of Birch Samazan, you can bench. My love, isn't it that he's saying the mevarach iloyei b'shasile? Obviously, what he's saying is that you could drink it, you can make a bracha on it and drink it, and that is, Bishamai says, if you want to drink the wine, it's not a problem. Although it's before benching, you don't have to wait for it till after Birch Samazan, because obviously he holds that Birch Samazan does not require kishal bracha. So how can we say in the brisa that it requires? So the Gemara says, lo, the mevarach iloyei umanichle. It doesn't mean when he says that you can make a bracha on it after the meal, before benching, that means to say you're going to drink it. No, you just make the bracha, and then you leave it till after Birchas Hamazon, and then you'll drink it afterwards so that you'll have the kosher bracha of Birchas Hamazon. But then the Gemara asks, but we learned that the one that makes the bracha has to taste it, or else it'll be a bracha levatol. You can't just make a bar pragof and not drink from it. So therefore, he has to drink from it, and he can't leave it till after. So the Gemara says the time, like, yes, it's talking that he actually tasted from it. But then you leave it till after benching. But then the Gemara asks, "Well, Mamar Tamei Pagmai." We learned that whoever tastes a cup of a Kishal Bracha, for example, for Birch Samazan or Kiddush Avdala, he makes it Pogum, and that it's not complete anymore, and therefore you can't use it anymore for Birch Samazan and Kiddush Avdala. So how can we say that you taste a little bit of it, and then you make, so to speak, brichas hamazon on it, but it's already pogum. It's already imperfect in the sense that it was already drunk from. It has to be totally not, so to speak, ruined by the way a person is drinking from it. So Gemara says, you didn't drink from it. The toim le biyade. Said you tasted from it in your hand. In other words, you poured off a little bit in your hand. So you didn't drink from it. It didn't make it pogum. But you tasted from it, so therefore it wasn't a bracha levatala. But then the Gemara asks again. But we learned, koishal bracha tzarch shir. That a koishal bracha needs to have a certain amount. Now if you're going to spill off a little bit, it's going to be losing from the shir. You're not going to have the requisite measurement necessary for the koishal bracha. So the Gemara answers, the nafesh leitveh mishir, that there was a little bit more than the shir. In other words, it was a very big cup, and you poured off, and you still, even if after you pour off, you still have the requisite measurement that's necessary for the koishal bracha. But to the which the Gemara asks back again, but v'ha im ein sham elo isa kois ketan. But we learned that it says that if there's not any other cup, and there's only one cup, and that's why you have to wait till after your meal to make havdalah, so that you can make birchas hamazon together with the brachas of havdalah. But if it says there's only this cup, obviously you don't have more than the measurement. So the Gemara says no. Trei lo have umichad nafesh. There wasn't enough for two cups, so that you could make havdalah with one cup and then make another cup for your birchas hamazon. But it was more than one. So let's say it would be a revius. So you have a revius and a quarter, and therefore there's enough to spill off, but there wasn't enough, so to speak, to make two different cups to be able to make havdalah separately and birchas hamazon separately. But then the Gemara asks, but we have l'chayr explicitly that says not like we're answering. But Tani Reb Chia learned that b'shama oimrim mevarach al yain v'sheisehu v'achkech mevarach birchas hamazon. That he learned explicitly when b'shama said in the Mishnah that you can drink it, you can make a bracha on the wine after the meal, before benching, that it says you make a bracha, he says, and you make a bracha, and you could drink it, and then you do birchas hamazon. So obviously, all the answers we were given to trying to resolve and saying that this, that you have to have a kosher bracha of a birchas hamazon, that's contradicting our mission, that says you don't have to, it has to be a contradiction, because Reb Chia learns that B'Shami said explicitly that you could drink it. So the Gemara says, El tre tanoim liba de Beshame. So you're right, we have to say that it must be that there's two different tanoim in the machlekes about the opinion of Beshame, that is the Tan of our Mishnah and the Tan of Reb Chia. As the Tan of Reb Chia learned, according to Beshame, that he says that the bracha of birchas hamazon does not require a kais, and therefore he says you could drink it. The Tan of our Mishnah that said that was like the brisa of Rabbi Yehuda, according to Beshame, that he holds that the bracha, for example, the bracha of birchas hamazon does require a cup, and that's why if you only have one cup, you have to wait for havdalah till after you finish birchas hamazon, so that you can make birchas hamazon together with havdalah, so that you have the koshal bracha. So this was the machlekes between these two tanoim. Again, if Beshami holds that birchas hamazon and other brachas require a kais to make it a koshal bracha. Now the Gemara continues, quoting from our Mishnah with the different machlekes in between Beshami and Beisil regarding the halachas of Suda. The Beshama Oimrim, there was this machlekes about Natila Sidaim, washing one's hand before the meal, and pouring the cup of wine, the wine they would drink before the meal, which one comes first? So it's important to make just a few necessary introductions, that in regard to the halachas of Tumah, the way the most extreme Tumah is what's called a via voisa Tumah, so to speak, the grandfather of Tumah. That's a corpse, that's a dead person. And as Tumah goes, as its transmission, it gets weaker and weaker from when it goes from one to another entity. So therefore, when, let's say, a corpse touches someone else, then it creates it into an av, into a father. And that is, it's metama, adam, mekel, metama, a person or different vessels. When that av touches something else, it becomes a vlad, which is a child, or it's known as a rishon, something that's a first-class tumah. That could be metama, machal, mashka, food and drink. Then that becomes a sheni. And the sheni could be metama, truma. Again, the things that are more holy, so to speak, spiritual, those are the things that could get Tumah even further down, and let's say Chulin cannot become a Sheini, cannot become a Shlishi. So Sheini can be Metama Truma only, not Chulin, and then that becomes a Shlishi, and a Shlishi can be Metama Kodesh, which is only things that are on the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the halacha in the Raisa, how it works. It's that Hishtalshus, that order from Avi Avis, from the grandfather, all the way down to Revi, to a fourth class Tumah. But Midrabanan, there were certain gezeiros which are going to be pertinent for our Gemara that we're going to be discussing. The Rabban were geizer, they decreed that a sheni, that although sheni cannot make chulin into a shlishi, something that doesn't have the sanctity of truma or kodesh, but if it touches a beverage, a mashke, so that would make that mashke, the beverage, into a rishin, and therefore it could be metama other things that could become a sheni. Another Rabban is that stam yudayim ashnias, that regular hands are, so to speak, have a halacha as a sheni, And the third halacha required for our Gemara is that mashkin tameim, beverages that became tamei, which they become like a rishon, even if a sheni just touched them, they are metame, they make ritually impure, achayrakli, the outside, the back of a vessel, not the inside, only the outside. And the Rabbanan did that to be able to differentiate that, to know that it's only a rabbinic tuma, not a biblical tuma. And those are some of the halachas that are going to be necessary for the coming Gemara, which speaks about a lot about the halachas of tuma. So the Gemara begins, Tana Rabban, quoted from a Brais to explain this machlokes that was mentioned in the Mishnah. Bishama oimim, notli yadayim, ve'achkech moizgin esakista. Bishama says that first you wash your hands until sidayim, and then you go ahead and pour the cup. And the reason is, she'im ato oimir moizgin esakista chil, because if you say that first you pour the cup of wine, and that is, and then you're going to drink it, and then only later you're going to wash your hands until sidayim, so there's a decree, there's a concern that maybe, since your hands were never washed, and we know there's tumah on the person's hands if you didn't wash it off, maybe the liquid that's on the back of the cup will become tumah because of his hands. And that is, as we mentioned, that a sheni can make a liquid into a rishon, as we just mentioned. The yachzer of yitmu sakois, and then that will go back. And in the time of the case, as we mentioned also, that another drabbanon was, that if a beverage that's a rishon touches the back of a kli, it could make that tummy. A certain scenario about that could definitely happen, and that is if, let's say, someone was pouring a cup, and he has therefore a cup that so to speak, it spilled on the outside of the cup, and there's certain droplets of beverage there, and that those droplets could become tummy because of the hands. As the Mishnah in Parah says, that whatever makes truma puzzle, that is, truma could become, that even a sheni can make truma pasal, as we mentioned in our introduction regarding making it into a shlishi. So that is, and that even the tumas yadayim, hands, which are, like as we mentioned also, that we say stam yadayim, regular hands, we say if it wasn't washed, the chacham gave it a din of a sheni. So that can make truma pasal. That could also be metame mashkin litzchila, that can make beverages into a rishon. And therefore, now that the beverages that are now outside the cup are a rishon, they can go back and be time of the cup, as we mentioned also, that's another derabonon, that beverages that are a rishon can make the outside of a cup tame. And therefore, Bishami held that you can't use a cup that the outside are tame, as the Gemara is going to explain later. And therefore, since this situation of not washing your hand first and pouring the cup first and drinking the cup of wine first, therefore, since that could create a cup that the outside will be tame, That is not what Beishame want, because as the Gemara is going to explain on the base, they don't want such a cup on the table. So therefore, that's why first we go ahead and we wash our hands, and then we go ahead and pour the cup according to Beishame. So then the Gemara asks, so that's what Beishame was saying. That's why the order is, again, that one first washes one hands and then drinks, so that it shouldn't create a situation where it's going to make the cup a kli tame, that the outside is tame. But then the Gemara asks, v'litme yudayim l'kais. Why do we need to say that it's what the situation is that Bisham is concerned about, that the hand is going to make the beverage on the outside of the cup tamei, and then that's going to go ahead and make the cup tamei? Even without beverage, the hands, which are tamei, should go ahead and be metame the kli, the vessel, directly. Why do we need to go through the medium of the beverage? Which one answers that? No, you have to understand the halachas of tumah, that yadayim shnir sein. The hands are only a sheni, they're only a second class tumah. And a sheni cannot make something of chulin into a shlishi, into the third class, only through beverages. And that's as we explained, that the beverages become a rishon midrabanan, a first class. And therefore, when it becomes a first class, then it could go ahead and make the kli midrabanan into a second class on the outside. But to which Rashi asks, that we know that a kli, a vessel, is only mekabel tumah, only from an avatoma, as we mentioned in our introduction, that from a, so to speak, someone that touched a dead person, he's an avatoma, he can go ahead and maybe tama a person or keli, but a rishon cannot go ahead. And here the beverage is only rishon. So Rashi says, as we mentioned, that's only midaraisim in that Torah. But the Chum decreed that the mashkim that are a rishon should be metamakli, and that's a gezerah, that's a decree because of a mashkim that come out from a zav and a zava, which their beverage, their, so to speak, their liquids that emanate from their body, they are avoisatumah, they are an av, for example, as their spit or their urine, and therefore we were concerned about those liquids for other liquids, and that's why we said that all liquids should be metama kli midrabanan. And as we'll see later, that they only made it, so that you shouldn't confuse it with biblical tumah, that only the outside of the kli becomes tumah, not the inside. So that's the understanding of Beishame's opinion. First you pour the cup, and then afterwards you wash your hands. And he explains why. Because if you say that you wash your hands first, now they were concerned about something else. Then maybe the cup is tame. And the cup is going to be metame, the beverages that's on the outside of the cup. As we said, that a cup that's a shein, you could go ahead and make a beverage into a rishon. Now that the beverage is a rishon, that will go ahead and be metame the yadayim of the person who's touching it. So therefore, he has a concern in reverse. That's why it's going to be metame the yadayim. That's why he doesn't want to have that you so to speak will be washing beforehand, because then you're going to have the whole meal with tame yadayim, because you had it, you washed it first. You're not going to wash after the cup, which possibly was tame. So Basil was, so to speak, telling Beis Shammai that this is what you were concerned about, that the hand should not be metame and make the outside of the cup tame. That's not a concern, Basil says. Because even the Ketchila, as we're going to see on Amud Beis, you're allowed to use a cup that only the outside is tame and that the inside is tar. And so therefore, this type of case, that it's going to be metame the outside because of the beverages, that we say that the inside is tar, so therefore Beis Hillel said you could pour and drink it, the cup, and then do Netilas Yadayim, because although the cup is going to be tame on the outside, I'm not concerned about it, as the Gemara is going to explain in Amud Beis. So then, if you're going to say that you wash Netilas Yadayim first, so then maybe the outside of the cup is tame. And this is what Beis Hillel was concerned about. That again, if it's like you say that first you wash your hands, so that maybe the kli is tame, and therefore there's a gzera that maybe the hands will not be dried very well from when you wash your hands, and therefore the mashkin that are in your hands are going to become tame because of the cup, and they're going to become a rishon. And now those that liquid on your hand will go ahead and be metame the hands, and it comes out that you're eating the whole meal with tame dig hands, with yadayim misa'avos. And that is, this will all, so to speak, revolve around whether one is allowed to have on the table a cup that has, so to speak, tuma on the outside of the cup and not on the inside, which is a certain rabbinic type of tuma. And therefore, since according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to have such a cup, so maybe what happens is when you wash your hands first and it's not totally dry yet, now when you're touching that cup, if you wash your hands first, like Beis Shammai says, and then you're drinking the cup, now the liquids on your hands are going to become a rishon from touching the kli that's a sheni, which that rishon will go ahead and be metame your hands, and therefore the whole meal you're going to have tame hands, and the washing that you did originally will so to speak, was futile, that didn't do anything. So therefore, Beis Hillel said that no, first you go ahead and you drink it, and then you go ahead and wash your hands afterwards. To which the Gemara asks, that why did Beis Hillel have to say that maybe it's going to be that the cup is going to make the liquid on his hand tame into a rishon, that's going to be tame his hands. V'nipne nikos liyadayim, let the cup go ahead directly, which is could be a sheni Beis Hillel said, and directly be metame the yadayim. Why do we need the moistness, the liquids on one's hands? Even when you have dry hands, the cup should be metame the yadayim. And if that's the case, so then even that the cup before you're eating, you did like Beis Hillel in the proper way, that you drink it before you wash your hands, but the cups that come in the middle of the meal, what's going to be, the Gemara is asking? It'll be metame the hands, so what's the purpose? What's Beis Hillel gaining? To which the Gemara answers, ain kli metame adam. That is, a vessel is not metame a person. In other words, that a cup like this, that so to speak has a tumma of a vlada tumma, that's only a rishon, that is not metame the hands, and that is because we hold like the Rabbanan that argue on your Yeshua in Masechet Sidayim, that a keli that became tamei through a beverage, which is the case that we're talking about, and we say that something that became tamei through an avatoma could be metame yadayim. But that became tamei through a vladatoma, and that's how it became a sheni, this cup, that's not metame the yadayim, because a sheni doesn't make it doesn't make something into a sheni. And although that the halach is that a sefer is metame the yadayim, but we don't learn from there because that's different. So therefore, cups that come in the middle of the meal, when the hands are dry, that's not metame the yadayim, and therefore it's not a difficult, what would Beis Hillel do with the cups that come in the middle of the meal? And then, but then Rashi asked that if you're going to say that sometimes the cup, the beverage that so to speak, that you have from the food that you're eating, so your hands are moist in the middle of the meal. So Rashi says that doesn't have a din of mashkin, doesn't have a teres mashkin in it, rather it has a shame of eichel. Although there's a moistness, it doesn't have the shame of beverage, it has the shame of oichel, and therefore that won't be considered liquid to become tamei from the cup that has a sheni that's on the outside tamei, and therefore there's not going to be concerned during the meal. And that's why basically I have to say it, that we're concerned about washing our hands first and then drinking and then having the meal, because what happens is that liquid is actual liquid mitaris halacha of mashke, and that could become tamei from the kli that's tamei, and therefore that's not the correct version. It should be the other way around, and during the meal that's not going to be a concern. But then the Gemara asks, v'nitmi lamashkin shebetoichai. So if that's the case, then it should make the beverages that's inside the cup tamei, and you shouldn't be able to drink it. In other words, if Beis Hillel is saying that we're concerned about that maybe on the table you're going to have a cup that's a sheni l'tumah, and therefore we have this whole concern about washing your hands first, and then therefore rather drink, get it out of the way, and then your hands are going to be dry and you won't have a concern during the meal. But how could you even drink that beverage? It's going to make what's inside of it tummy if it's a kli tummy. And therefore, how could you drink this mashkin tummy? Toshik Mar says, which we have already explained basically, is that what we're talking about here is a vessel, a cup, that the outside became tummy, not the inside, through beverages. And that is, we're talking about something like a metal kli, because it was a kli cheres, if it was pottery, then that wouldn't become tamei from the outside, even by tumah deraisa. So what we're talking about is that it's a cup, a vessel, that they became tamei from the outside through beverages. And that is, you don't have a beverage that's not a rishon l'tumah, because even if a sheni touched the beverage, our chacham said that mashke, that beverage, becomes a rishon. That halacha is that if that liquid that's a rishon touches a vessel, the halacha is that the outside of that kli only becomes tamei. That although we said that other mekalim, man and the vessel is not makabel tumah, doesn't receive tumah min atari biblically only from an ava tumah, but the chumah geizer that beverages should be metame kalim, and that is because we find that a mashke that says ava tumah that could be metame other mekalim min atari. For example, as we mentioned, by the liquids that flow from a zav, or either his spit or his urine. So therefore, the chumah geizer on all beverages tameim that they should be metame kalim. And therefore, that's as the Gemara explains, that since here we're talking about a vessel that the outside became tamei from beverages, that the teichet tar begabe tamei, that halacha midrabanan is that the inside is tar and only the outside is tamei. As the Gemara brings, it's not, and therefore it won't be matama the wine that's inside. And that's why you could drink it. As the Gemara brings, it's not, as we learned in the Mishnah, kli shenitmu achayv b'mashkin, that if you have a vessel that became tamei from beverages on the outside, so then achayv tameim, the outside is tamei. Now that's, as we mentioned, that's only the outside, and then we continue on to Amud Beis. Teichai, but the inside, v'ognoi, and the lip of the cup, v'oznoi, and the ear, v'yodav, and the handle, tar, and they are all tar. And that is, since this tumah was only a rabbinic, it was midrabanan, so rabbanan made a hecker. They made it something that it should be recognizable to know that it's only midrabanan, and why should we care if it's midrabanan, the raisa, either way it's tumah. That is, that we shouldn't, if it, let's say it's truma or kachem that receives the tumah from it, that we shouldn't burn it. And therefore, and we, so to speak, we made it these leniencies to show you that it's different than biblical tumah, because biblical tumah you actually have to burn. Rabbinic, we don't burn it, we just, we don't use it. So therefore, we did ways to make the differentiation, and that's why the halacha is that we will not be metama the wine that's inside, and that's why you can drink it. However, the Braisa ends, the Mishnah ends, nitmatoich and nitmakulay. If the inside of the cup had the so to speak, the tumma beverages touch it inside, then everything becomes tummy. Here we're talking about that it became tummy from the outside, and then only the outside is tummy, not the inside and the lip and the ear and the handle. So that's how we explained the Machlekes Bisham Besil about their opinions, which one comes first, which one's not. But the Gemara asks, by my kamifli, what are they arguing? What is the fundamental principle that they're arguing about? And that is, as the Gemara says, Bishami Savri, Hashem says that you're not allowed to use a vessel on the table that the outside had become tamei with liquids. And that is, this will be again with the crux that the whole machlokes revolves around. And why can't you use such a vessel that the outside had become tamei, this tumah d'rabbanan from beverages? Gezeir mishum nitzaitzus, as we're concerned about the droplets. And that is, there may be droplets from the inside of the cup will drip onto the outside. And what happens is that they will become tamei, that they will be metame the mashkin that's on the outside of it, because of the outside. In other words, again, if we allow you to use a cup that only the outside has a tumah d'rabbanan and a tumah of sheni. So therefore, l'chayr shouldn't be any problem because the inside is good and therefore the wine is good and therefore there will be no tumah. But the problem is that maybe it might drip from the inside to the outside. Then, now that you have beverages that are on the outside of the cup, they will become tumah because a sheni could be metameh a liquid into a rishon. So now that those liquids on the outside are tumah, they will go ahead and now transfer the tumah to the yadayim, and which will make now that yadayim into a sheni. And we know that the yadayim can't be tumah during the meal, and that's why we wash netilas yadayim before our meal. So therefore, Bishame says we always wash netilas yadayim first, so that it shouldn't come to a situation that your hands are tumah, and then it'll be metameh the outside of the cup because that it's wet. And this that Bishamai that Beis Hillel are concerned that because of the outside of the cup, as that is that maybe that will go ahead and be metameh the yadayim, that's not a concern according to Bishamai, because again they say you're not allowed to use a kli that the outside became tameh, and therefore they don't have Beis Hillel's concern at all, which is that maybe you shouldn't wash first because then your hands are going to be moist and it's going to get the tameh from the cup on the outside because you can't have such a cup on the table. That's Bishamai's opinion. And the Gemara says, as we mentioned, that therefore there is no place to have this decree that maybe the mashkin will become tameh and the beverage, the moistness on one's hand will become tameh from the cup, the way Beis Hillel says it. As we said, because, like I just explained, because according to Beis Shammai, you're never allowed to have a kli that became tameh on the outside on the table. So that's Beis Shammai's opinion. He says, no, you're allowed to have on the table a cup that the outside became tameh from beverages, which makes it only tameh on the outside and not on the inside. And that is why. It's not something that's common to have that'll suddenly, so to speak, spill over and that the outside will be wet. And therefore, because Beis Hillel allows one to have such a cup on the table, and therefore, we have to be concerned that maybe the moistness, the wetness from one's hand that one washed the tears daim will become tameh when he touches that cup. Again, if you wash first. And that's why Beis Hillel hold that, therefore, according to our concern, we have to be concerned that the hands will become tameh from the kli. But according to your concern, there's no concern that it'll, so to speak, be metameh in the kli because we don't care. In other words, we're not concerned with your concern that said that you should wash first and then drink so that you shouldn't be metame because your hands are shnius. It shouldn't be metame the cup because we're not concerned about the cup becoming tame. See how that's the crux about there are two different opinions about do you wash your hands first or do you drink the cup of wine first that revolves around this concept about if we're concerned about having on the table a cup that the outside will have this tumah sheni only on the outside and not on the inside. So now the Gemara says, Dabach, another point that Beis Hillel said to Bishamai, why I'm correct, that first one drinks the cup and then one's washed in the Tilsa Dam and then eats the Suda, is because take it in the Tilsa Dam Suda. That immediately after one washes one hand in the Tilsa Dam, that's when you're supposed to eat the meal. And according to you, you're going to wash your hands, then interrupt to have the cup of wine and then eat the meal. That's not proper. You're supposed to do directly first the Tilsa Dam and then to wash them and then eat for the meal. And that's why I say the cup of wine, drink, and then Tilsa Dam and then the meal. So the Gemara is my devacher. Why does Beis Hillel need to have this other point? So hachakam alu Beis Hillel b'shamay. Beis Hillel was telling b'shamay as follows: Leditchu, even according to your opinion, damri to us l'shtamish b'kli shachayv tameim, that you said that you're not allowed to use, it's not allowed to be on the table, a cup that has this tumah on the outside, and therefore that's why you said, hey, you can't, so to speak, drink and then wash because your hands would never wash it. They're shnias. It's going to be the time of the cup. So therefore, and then you're going to have it on the table. Doesn't make a difference, and that's because the Gezrin Mishum Etzaitz is you're concerned about that it's going to have the droplets. In other words, it's not really a problem of having shnius. It's only a problem because you're concerned about that it's going to drip over, and then maybe you're going to touch it, and you have all the whole concern that it's going to transmit tumah back to the hands. Afilahachi ha'adifa, even so, even though you have all these concerns, it's still better the way that I said it. That is that first you should pour the cup of wine and drink it, and then afterwards you have netilas yadayim. And that is because the take of Netilas Yadayim Suda, that immediately after Netilas Yadayim Suda, have the Suda, and therefore your whole concern about the, so to speak, it spilling over, the droplets, it should not come ahead and be mafkiya and uprooted this halacha, which is one of the halachas of Suda, that directly after Netilas Yadayim Suda, have the Suda. And therefore, even according to your opinion that you are concerned, you still should hold like me because of this other thing about having the suda immediately after the tefillah sedaim. So again, the yisoid haplukta, the fundamental principle that this machlek is about besil beshame, about do you wash your hands first or drink the wine first, revolves around if it's permitted to use a vessel, a cup, that the outside became tummy from mashkin. And then again, that revolves around if we're concerned about nitzaitis or not, beshame we're concerned, and therefore because of that you can have this whole process about that the outside beverage is becoming tumma from the outside of the kli, which will then transmit it to the hand. But still wasn't concerned because it's not something so common, and therefore they said you're allowed to have such a cup on the table, and therefore since you're allowed to have, it makes more sense to first drink the wine, then wash the hands, and then eat the meal. That was one machlekes between beshame. So now the Gemara continues on another one from our Mishnah. Beshama Oymer Kaneach, Beshama says that first you wipe your hands, and that is, this was the machlekes regarding that this napkin that one wipes one hands after until Sidayim, and he keeps for throughout the whole meal when the hands get dirty, do you put on the table or do you put on a cushion not on the table? That was the machlekes Beshama. So the Gemara brings a bryce to explain this machlekes. Tan Rabban, Beshama Oymer Mikaneach Yodav Bemapa Umaneach Al Shochan. Beshama say that first you wipe your hands in the napkin, and then you put on the table. Why you put on the table? Shemato imalakez, because if you say that you'll put on the cushion, gizera shemiyitmu mashkin shebemapa machmasakeses. There's a concern, there's a decree that maybe there's the napkin is wet, it's moist, obviously you're wiping your hands in it from the water that you washed. Now that those beverages might become tummy from the cushion that's tummy. V'yachzer v'yitmasidayim, and now that, so to speak, it became, you put it down on the cushion, so now it became tummy. Now during the meal, when you go ahead and you keep on wiping your hands in that napkin with that tummy digging beverages inside of it, that liquid, will go ahead and be mitama, the yadayim will go ahead and be mitama the hands during the meal. And therefore, Beshame says that maybe again that this liquid that's on the napkin, because you're wiping your hand in it, that now that's wet, that will go ahead and be mitama the hands when you're wiping it during the meal. And that is, we're concerned about that again. Maybe the cushion was tummy, and therefore you shouldn't leave it. You should put it on the table. So then the Gemara asks, "V'nitma keses lamapa." Why do we need to say that it's because it was wet, the napkin, and that the liquids inside will become tummy from the cushion? Because maybe this cushion is tummy. Maybe someone that was tummy, so to speak, sat on it or whatever, made it tummy. Why can't we just say that the cushion itself directly transmits, even without beverages, without liquid, directly to the napkin, and therefore, why do we need the beverage, the liquids inside of it? So the Gemara answers: Ain kli mitama kli. Another one of the yisaidis of hilchos tuma, that a vessel that's not an avatuma cannot go ahead and be mitama another keli or a person. And that is, we were concerned about, and the person himself, he'll be careful that his hand should not touch the cushion if it's, so to speak, a rishon l'tuma. So therefore, the only concern is that the so to speak, the cushion will be make it richly impure, make metame the liquids inside of the napkin, because it can't be metame the napkins directly, because one vessel that's a rishon cannot be metame another vessel. So therefore, we had to say that the concern was that maybe it's going to metame the liquids, which that liquids will then go ahead and metame the person's hands when he wipes it in it during the meal. And that's why Beshame says you got to keep the napkin on the table, not on the cushion. But then the Gemara asks, "V'nitma keses legavra gufe." If we're saying they were concerned about that the cushion is tameh, so then the person himself will become tameh from the cushion. Why do we have to go through this whole concern about getting the liquids in the napkin, and then that will touch his hands? The person is on the cushion. He'll become tameh from it. So the Gemara answers, another yisoid in Hilchas Tumah, that ain't kli metama adam, as we mentioned before, that a vessel, which is a rishon, cannot be metama adam, and adam, a person, can only become tameh from an avatum, not from a rishon. So that's the opinion of Bishamai. That's why you put it on the table. You put it on the cushion. Why? If you say you put it on the table, the concern is that maybe the beverage, the liquid that's inside the napkin, will become tummy from the table itself. That's a sheni. And therefore, that sheni can make the liquids inside into a rishon. And then, now that will go ahead and mitama the food. And therefore, Basil was concerned, as the Gemara is going to explain, that Basil holds that you're allowed to use a table that's a sheni. And because you're allowed to use a table that's a sheni, that will cause this complication of the table making the liquids in the napkin tummy, which will then go ahead and mitame the foods and the people that are eating. So then the Gemara asked, "Belitma shulchan lo ichlan shabataycha." Why do we need to go through this whole process? Again, let the table transmit tumah to the food directly. If it's a table that's tumah, why do we have to go through the liquids in the napkin to be mitam of the food? So the Gemara says, "Halcha b'shulchan shein eskin." Here we're talking about a table that's a shein l'tumah. It's a second class tumah. And the halacha is ve'ein sheini oisa shlisha b'chulin el day mashkin. And as we mentioned before, that a sheini does not make a chulin into a shlishi, into a third class, only through the medium of a beverage. And therefore, we weren't concerned directly to the food. You're allowed to have a knish or whatever it is directly on the table. It's not going to transmit the tumah. It's only if it touches the napkin that's a beverage. That beverage will become a rishon, and that rishon then could go ahead and make the food into a sheini. So now the Gemara asks, as it asked in the previous machlekes, but my kemifki. So what is the fundamental principle that the whole machlekes revolves around between bisham and besil? If you put the napkin on the table or on the cushion. So the Gemara answers, bisham savri also l'shtamish b'shulchan sheni. Bisham hold that you're not allowed to use a table that's a sheni l'tumah. And why is that? Gizera mishum oichel truma. They were concerned about those that eat truma because sheni makes truma pasul. And therefore, we said you're never allowed to use a table that's a sheni, because if you're eating truma and you put it on the table, it automatically does become tumah, even without a liquid. And therefore, they weren't concerned about putting it on the table, and they were their own concerned about putting it on the cushion. However, Basil Savi, Mutalish Damash B'Shulchan Sheni, Basil says that you are permitted to use a table that's a sheni l'tumah. And why aren't we concerned about truma? Because Eichli truma is reason heim. Who eats truma is Kohanim. Kohanim has reason, they're very careful in what they do, and therefore we're not concerned about those that eat truma, and therefore everyone's allowed to use a table that's a sheni. And therefore they were concerned about the table being the time of the liquids in the napkin. That's why you don't keep it on the table, because then all the food is going to become tummy. Rather, you keep it on the cushion. Another point Basila says, why I'm correct, that you keep it on the table, not on the cushion, is because davar achar, in netilas v'dayim l'chul minatar. That there is no netilas v'dayim for chul, although we wash our hands before our meals, although it's chul, not truma, but minatar, biblically, there is no such chiv of washing one's hands. To which the Gemara says, my davar achar, what is this understanding of this other point that Basila is saying? So the Gemara says, hachi kamalhu Basila b'shame. Basila was telling b'shame as follows, v'chi temru maishno Gabi Oichlin Nechashin. If you're going to say, what's the difference? Why is it that by food, we, Basil, were concerned that the napkin should not be on the table because the napkin, the liquids inside will become tummy and then it'll make the food tummy? Umaishna Gabi Dayim Lechashinan. And why is it regarding the hands that we weren't concerned that the hands will become tummy from the napkin? And that is maybe the hands. If we're saying that, in other words, why are we saying that it's just the food that'll become tummy? Why don't we say that the hands will become tummy from the napkin? Even so, this is better. That, in other words, that to be concerned that maybe it'll happen, that to be concerned about the chashash oichlin, to be concerned about the food on the table, that is, if we're going to use a table that's a sheni, and that you shouldn't put on the table, that it shouldn't be metam the food because of the liquid that's inside of it, than to be concerned about that the hands should not become tummy from the napkin because of the cushion, which again, that we said that we'll go back and be metam of the yadayim, because l'chera, it's a bishami also has a valid point. You shouldn't be able to keep it not on the table because we're concerned about the food, and not on the cushion either, because that's going to also, the cushion could be tummy, it could be a sheni, which will go ahead and be metam of the napkin, which will then go ahead and be metam of the person's hands. So why am I better than you? Why do I think my concern is better? Because the ain't until, because minatar, biblically, the hands don't need washing. And therefore, mutav shi'itam yadayim. Therefore, it's better that the hands should become tummy. In other words, with this concern that from the cushion, the less lehu ikar midaraisa, which doesn't have any source in the Torah midaraisa. In other words, tumas yadayim was a purely rabbinic invention, obviously a decree that has reasons for it, but there wasn't, so to speak, as a fence, a secondary towards the midaraisa digadin, because we don't find that the hands should have a different halacha than the rest of the body. And therefore, it's better than not having the food become tummy. That is, if we would put the napkin on the table, that then that napkin could go ahead and, let's say, one of the food items touches that napkin, the islu ikad midaraisa, because that does have a root in deraisa digadina. As we know, there's something called tumas eichlin, that food becomes Tami Midai Raisa. And therefore, again, although that it seems to be that the way we hold that you could have a table that's a sheni, so we're concerned about the food becoming tummy, but how about the hand could become tummy? Your point is also valid. Still, it's better, so to speak, you have to choose where you're going to put your napkin, if you mean a table on the cushion, better on the not on the table, where there's, the, although they we're talking about rabbinic tummies either way, but there it's a more, so to speak, chomadigid rabbanan, because it's talking about food that have, so to speak, a biblical tumma to them, then, so to speak, you're concerned about the cushion, which is that then the liquids inside the napkin will become tumma, which will then be the time of the yadayim, because ultimately the yadayim don't even have any derais din at all, and it was, so to speak, drabbanan on their own that made it, that, so to speak, to make the tumma yadayim, and that's why you have to wash the tumma yadayim, but that's only midrabbanan, has nothing to do with derais, and therefore better on the cushion than having it on the table. So therefore, again, the Yisrael applied to the fundamental principle that Beisham Besil were arguing about over here, if you put the napkin on the table or on the cushion, was if you're permitted to use a table that's a sheni, and that was based on if we're concerned about those who eat truma, that they, if they'll be careful or not, Beisil said they will be careful, and therefore there's no concern you can have a table that's a sheni. Beisham says that you can't use a table that's a sheni, and therefore Beisham said you could put the napkin on the table because there's no concern. The table's not going to be tummy. But Beisil said that no, the table could be tummy. That's what you don't want to put on the table. You want to put on the cushion because at least the cushion, the most that it could do is make the hands tummy, which that'll be rabbinic, purely rabbinic, versus on the table it can make food tummy, which at least has, this, so to speak, a biblical, a deraisa degede dinim, and therefore that's more chamer than, so to speak, making the hands tummy. Now the Gemara continues on to the next machlekes that we quoted from our Mishnah between machlekes Beisham Hill. That is Beisham and Mechab. Beisham says that you clean off. This was the machlekes Beisham Hill. Which one do you do first? Do you first clean off the table or the floor, depending on where you're eating, or do you wash Mayim Achrena first? So the Gemara explains that machlekes with a brisa. Turn Rabban. Beisham Aim and Beisham say, Mechabdim Nes Abayis, that first you clean the house. Again, that's either the ground if you're eating, making a nap, a picnic, or if they used to eat on the floor, or if you're eating on the table, you clean up the table first. But Achkach Nelindam, and then you wash Mayim Achrena. You wash the waters that after the meal, before benching. And he explains why. Shemato Imin Nelindam Tchil, because if you say you wash Mayim Achrena first, Nimtzat Mafsed Esoich, and it comes out that you're ruining the food. And that is because the Mayim Achrena, the water that you're washing your hand, it sprays, it splishes and splashes, and the food that's there is going to get ruined. And then some are not agarish the next words or not, but either way, it's just explaining what we just said. The Beisham hold that you shouldn't wash the Tilis Yadayim first. My time Mushum Peirun, what's the reason? Because of the crumbs, again, as we just explained, and that's why the Bach takes out this Girsa, that because the crumbs on the table, the leftover food will get ruined from the water, so therefore, rather, first you go ahead and you clean up, and then you wash Mayim Achrena. If the waiter is a Tama Chacham, so then, Neitel Peirurin Sheyesh Ben Kazayis, he's going to take away the crumbs, the leftovers that have at least a Kazayis left. Umanich Peirurin Sheyem Ben Kazayis, and he's only going to leave the crumbs that don't have a Kazayis. And therefore, there's no concern of the food getting ruined. And therefore, you can wash your hands first because he's going to take away the food that can get ruined. Which the Gemara says, Misayei L'Rabbi Yochanan, did this assist what Rabbi Yochanan had said? Rabbi Yochanan Peirurin Sheyem Ben Kazayis, Mutal Adam Miyad. That crumbs that don't have a kazayas, that you're allowed to destroy it with your hand, and therefore there's no concern about, so to speak, the food getting ruined. And that is because if the waiter's a Tama Chacham, so to speak, even if you wash Mayim Achrena first and then clean up, it doesn't make a difference because the foods that really are legitimate foods that are kazayas or larger are not going to be there anyways when you wash Mayim Achrena. To which Tosis does say that although you're allowed to ruin food that's smaller than the kazayas, however, it's still harmful for making a person poor, as the Gemara in Parakalabasa says that if a person ruins even tiny, tiny crumbs, it could be difficulty. There's a certain malach that makes the person poor. So the Gemara said, "B'maykumefkli." So what is the fundamental principle that Beisham Besil are arguing about? So Besil Savri Asalish Tamish Beisham Besham Arz. They hold you're not allowed to use a waiter that's in Amarz as an ignoramus, and therefore, since he's a Talmud Chacham, he'll know about that we're washing Mayim Achrena before the cleaning up, and therefore he'll take away the foods that are large enough, and therefore there's no concern about food getting ruined. But Beshami's hold that you're allowed to use a waiter that's ignoramus, and therefore he's going to leave even pieces larger than the kazayas, and therefore that's going to get ruined. And therefore Beshami says that first you clean up, and then you wash Mayim Achrena. So therefore, again, the Yisrael plug to hear the fundamental principle was, if you're allowed to use a waiter that's an Amma or it's an ignoramus, and therefore, that will be, if there's a concern regarding having ruining pieces that are of food that are kazayis or larger, then according to Basil, it's not going to be a concern because the waiter, Tamu Chacham, he knows to take away that food before Mayim versus the Amaretz doesn't know. Therefore, we make that you should first clean up according to Bishamai and then wash Mayim Achren. So the Halacha, the Gemara brings, Amr B'Yesi Reb Chanina, Amr Avuna, B'Kuli Pirkan Halacha G'Bisil. In the whole parak that we have all these machlekes between Bisham and Basil, the Halacha is like Basil, Bar Mehah, the Halacha G'Bisham, besides this Halacha, regarding that first we clean up, and then we wash Mayim Achren, that then Halacha is like Bishamai, and not like Beis Hill, that first you wash Mayim Achren and then clean up. However, when the way he learned this Machlokes B'Shamay's Hill, he learned it in reverse. That he had B'Shamay with Beis Hill's opinion, and Beis Hill B'Shamay's opinion. And therefore, and therefore here also Halacha is like Beis Hill, because it was Beis Hill that was the one that said that first you wash, that first you clean up, and then you wash Mayim Achren. So nothing more continues on to the next Machlokes B'Shamay's Hill, which is a little bit of deviation from the machlokes regarding actual meals, and it's the machlokes regarding the order of the brachas of Havdalah. So b'shamay omrim neir u'mazon v'chulu, that although it's related to the halachas of Suda, because it was told by someone that only has one cup of wine, and therefore he leaves it for his evening meal on Matzah Shabbos, and he makes Havdalah together with the kosher bracha and brachas mazon, but it discusses what's the exact order. So the Gemara brings a story, the Rav Huna by Yehuda Iklal Bei Rava. He went to the house of Rava. Chazi le Rava the bracha b'sam bereishis. He saw Rava that he's making the bracha on the b'samim first, and that is first the b'samim, then the flame, and then he made the rest of the adala. So Amalei Mechti says b'sham b'sil ama'or le'pligi. Both b'sham b'sil, they both agree that they're not arguing about the flame. That that's the first one. The Tanya is written in the brisa. B'sham imrim ner u'mazn b'samim b'adala. The first comes the flame. And then the Birch Samazan, then the Besam, then Abdullah. Besil, I mean, Besil also puts near the flame first. And then they argue about the order of Besamim, that Besamim comes first, and then Mazan, then Abdullah. So therefore, how could you go ahead and make the Besamim first when both Besham and Besil both agree that the flame comes first? So Ani Rava Basrei Zudiv Rimeya. So Rava answered that that's the opinion of Rimeya. That that's how he learns of the Machlekes of Besham and Besil. But Rabbi Yehuda, he learns that B'Sham B'Sil never argued about that the bracha on the food, the Birch Samazin, that's first. And that Havdalah, that's last. So what did B'Sham B'Sil argue about? I mean, in other words, although Remeir had said that everyone agrees the flame is first and Mazin comes later, he says no. Everyone agrees the food comes first, the Birch Samazin, and the Havdalah comes last. So what are they arguing about? Alamar v'alabasam, regarding the order of the flame and the basam. Shebishama, I remember alamar v'achka basam. Bishami, hold that first comes the flame and then comes the basam. Then come the fragrant spices. Bisil, I remember basam v'achka ma'ar, but bisil, hold that first comes the fragrant spices and then the flame. And that was the way that Rava was doing it, as bisil, first the basam, then ma'ar. V'amir b'yechanan. Rabbi Yechon says that the people have already accustomed themselves, which is our minig, to do like Beis Hill, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is that first comes the besamim, and then comes the ma'ar, then comes the flame. Now the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah, that Bisham Oimrim, there was a machlekes between Beis Hill and Bisham, the Bisham says, Shebara ma'ar ha'esh. That we thank Hashem that He created the flame of the fire. And Basil say, Bayre ma'ayre ho'esh, that He creates the flames, the illuminations of the fire. So the Gemara explains, what is the machlekes between Bisham and Basil? Amar Rava, bebara kula amar loy pligi debar mashma. The word bara, no one argues that it means in the past that Hashem had created already. And therefore that's fitting to say when you're making the, so to speak, the bracha on the flame on by the Havdalah candle, because we're talking about Hashem's creation of the fire, which was in the Sheshes and Mei Bereshes, and that's what we're praising Him for, because that was created on Matzah Shabbos, as the Gemara in Pesachim says. So therefore, it's fitting to say a past tense of Bara Ma'ir Ha'esh. Ki Pligi B'Bara, when are they arguing, B'Sham B'Sil, if the word Bara, if what does that mean? That B'Sham Esavri Bari De Asid L'Mivri. The word Bari is a continuation. It's in the present towards the future. That's something that Hashem will create, that He's constantly creating. That doesn't apply over here because we're talking about the fire that had been created during the first week of creation. Well, B'Sil Esavri Bari Nami De Bar Mashma. B'Sil Hol, that Bari also means in the past tense that it's something that was already created. Tosfos asks a similar question that he asked by the bracha of Amitzi Lechem in the Oretz. So why would we choose something that could be either one? So why don't we just say bara if that also, according to everybody, means the past tense? Why does we still have to pick something that could also mean it? So the Tosfos says, because the lashon of the pasuk is better. And since we have a pasuk that says uvayre, that talks about that that's how he created it in that terminology, that's where we'd rather use that terminology for the bracha. As the Gemara brings that pasuk, but they use it in the concept of the question, Moshe Rav Yosef asked, how can we say that they argue about if bari means present or even past? But we learn in the pasuk that says, Yetzir oy revoyachashich, that Hashem forms light and creates darkness. Yetzir harim uvari ruach, that he forms the mountains and he creates the winds. Bari hashemayim v'noitem, that he creates the heavens and he stretches them out. So obviously, that it also means in the past, we're talking about Vayri Chayshech, that we're talking about something that Hashem had done already, and still we see that the word Vayri means the past. So how can we say Bishamay holds that Vayri doesn't mean the past, which is the Pasuk the text was referring to, that we'd rather use the Pasuk, is Pasuk's terminology in regards to the Brachu, Vayri Ma'ireish. So the Gemara answers, Elam Avri Yosef, Babaru Ubayri, Kulam Lepligi Debar Mashma. You're correct. Both the word Bare and Bayre, everyone agrees that it also connotes bara, that it's in the past. And therefore, there's no problem about using either one to talk about the fire that was created in the Sheshem Evereshes. Ki pligi b'ma'or u'ma'ore. When are they arguing about? They're not really arguing about bara and bari, although they might use different terminologies that might be related to the next machlokes regarding if the correct term should be ma'or, the illumination, or ma'ore, the illuminations. That is the Bishamay Savri Chad Nahayri Ikibinur. Bishamay hold that there's fundamentally only one illumination in the fire, and therefore he uses the singular term of Bara Ma'ir Ha'esh, which is that Hashem created the illumination of the fire. Bishil Savri Tuvin Nahayri Ikibinur. Bishil hold, no, there's many different illuminations in the fire, and that's why he used the pluralistic Ma'irei, the illuminations of the fire. Atanya Mahoch, similarly in the Brisa, that Amalem Besil Bishamai, Harba Ma'iris Yeshbar, that Besil to Bishamai, that there are many illuminations in the fire, which those are in the, if one looks close to a flame, one sees that there's a red fire, and there's the white, and there's the yellow. So therefore, you have to use the terminology Ma'irei, because there's many different illuminations in the fire, and that's the machlekes between Besil and Bishamai, if one says Ma'ir or Ma'irei Ho'esh. Then the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah that Ein Mevarchin, one does not make the bracha of the candle or the besamim if it's from idol worshippers. So the Gemara explains this halacha. Bishlam Ner Mishum Delishavas. I understand why you can't use the candle of an idol worshipper for the Havdalah, is because it wasn't rested. And that is, as the Gemara is going to explain later, it didn't rest from a malacha, from work of an aver, because Ovid Kachavim, the idol worshipper, he did his malacha to the flame of this candle. And the Gemara later is going to say that any fire that didn't rest over Shabbos, you can't make the bracha of Bar Meresh on it, since it was an aver was done with it. So therefore, I understand why you can't use his flame. El Besam my time alive, but why can't you use the idol worshippers Besamim? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Hocha b'mesibas oivde kichav meskim. Here we're talking about, you're right, you should be able to use the besam of a guy, but here we're talking about that it came from a banquet of idol worshippers. And that is that they used it when they were eating a meal. And that is, when they shistam mesibas oivde kichav lavi dezarhi, because an unspecified meal of idol worshippers is for their avay dezar, and they're using it to praise their avay dezar. But then the Gemara asks, Hamadiktani seifa, but since the Mishnah later said, that you don't make a bracha, not on the candle, not on some of the zara of idols themselves. So obviously the isra of using the besam that we said from the idol worshippers is not because of the zara, because if it was avoid the zara, we're going to say it later, so why are we repeating it? So Amr B'chanin Misura Matam Karma. The Mishnah was saying, what is the reason? That Matam Imavarchan Loyal Nerv, Lebesam Shal Akim, what is the reason why you can't use the candle or the besamim of the idol worshippers? That's because that an unspecified banquet of idol worship is for avodah zarah, and that's what the Mishnah continues to say, that the candle and the besamim of an idol is usher to use. Similarly, the Gemara brings regarding this halacha, the Tan Rabbanan, Ursha Shavas Mevarchan Lab. As we mentioned, that a flame that rested over Shabbos, you can make a bracha on it. But if it didn't rest, then you can't make a bracha on it on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Mai loy Shabbos." What does it mean that it didn't rest? That it would be forbidden to use it as a flame for the Havdalah candle on Matzah Shabbos. So we continue on to the top of Nun Gilam and Aleph. That inay loy Shabbos machmas malacha afilam malacha de'ateira. If you're going to say that, it means that it didn't rest from work. In other words, something it was so to speak lit even from malacha of heter. That is. Even if, let's say, it was lit on Shabbos, for example, for a sick person or for someone, a woman giving birth, that you said if a malacha was done with it, that again, that the havara, which was igniting it, was done on Shabbos, even if it was done permissibly, that you can't make a bracha on Matzah Shabbos. But time we're learning the brisa, or shel chayiv shel chayil mevarchin lav, that the flame of a woman that gave birth, or of a woman that was sick, or anyone that was sick, that you could make a bracha on it. So therefore, how could you say that it wasn't Shavas, that it didn't rest, that you can't make on it, and there would be even behetera, permissibly, we learned explicitly in the Brisa, that you could use it for Abdullah. So, what does it mean that it had to have rested over Shabbos, that the malacha wasn't done with this candle? Shabbos machmas malacha zaver, that it rested from a malacha being done with it, with navera. Tanya Amhocha, similarly, we learned in the Brisa, that ashashas, a lantern, that it was lit and it was constantly going the whole entire day, and that it was lit from already from before Shabbos, and it was in a Jew's house. Then the Matzah Shabbos, you can make a bracha on it, and that is because since no aveir was done with it, because it wasn't lit, it wasn't ignited on Shabbos, or even if we said, let's say for a woman giving birth or a chayla, where there it's permissible to have the candle lit, there we say that since no issur was done with it, although it wasn't so to speak Shabbos, then it could be used for a Matzah Shabbos Abdullah candle. It is only that it can't have been done with it. It has to be Shavas from a Malachas Avera if something was done improperly with it, that it was lit, so to speak, through a guy, or not for any permitted purposes.